everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Outsources on KGNU. I am your host, Stoney Burtz. Welcome back to our limited series entitled Who's Transition, where we document and discuss the value placed on medically transitioning for trans and gender nonconforming folks by society and our community, how we're experiencing that individually, and how we can identify the barriers that affect us collectively. In this episode, we're actually going to have a conversation with Beck, somebody who wanted to offer up their testimony regarding what they've experienced so far on their journey. Beck and I go back a few years and have kind of found ourselves in the same place at the same time, so we thought this would be a great conversation, and this actually sets it up for us to have another episode because it ran a little bit long, so welcome. But thanks. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you. I feel honored to chat with you anytime, honestly, anytime.
Awesome. Well, did you want to just introduce yourself real quick, whatever you're comfortable sharing, and then we'll jump into it?
Yeah, my name's Beck, Sarone. My pronouns are he and they, and yeah, I live in Salida, Colorado, and yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, I appreciate you once again for being here. I know we obviously go back a ways, just like in life. I think we calculated it was like 15 years or 13 years or something.
13 years ago.
Doing crazy kid things. And now yes. We're full-fledged grown-ups. So that's a whole thing.
We're I guess behaving a little more now. I definitely have kids now around.
Same.
That kid, if you can't tell with the background, all the kids stuff.
Yeah. To myself. So.
I've been a step parent for like 3 years now.
Yeah. Nice. So. I need to get some. I'm going on a year. But. Maybe.
Cool.
Maybe
cool. Yeah.
Tips.
Yeah. For sure. All the help.
But I know that we, you know, obviously we go back a ways and things like that. And obviously now we're both, I guess, in a certain space in life. And I know I've kind of talked to you about the series that I've been doing on KGNU called Who's Transition, about like the value we place on medical transition, what that looks like. And I know obviously like throughout the show, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to like some of the other episodes, but I was able to kind of talk about my experience. Really, that's really the only firsthand experience that I've really like gone over, obviously, because it was my own and that was something that was accessible to me to like kind of just talk about. But I did want to kind of speak to some other, you know, transgender nonconforming folks that I know to see kind of like what their experience was, and you know, kind of put together the landscape for the audience, because I've been doing these episodes and I'm sure folks are like, when does this all come together? So this is kind of that point. So to kind of kick it off, is there anything in particular that like stands out about your experience in journey regarding like any type of like medical intervention, like hormone replacement therapy or anything like that?
Well, you know, I'm 30 years old. I got a lot of gray hairs for 30, I guess. But yeah, I didn't start hormone therapy until last year, April. And I'm also, and I always make note of this, but I'm 3 years sober. And so I feel like that has a huge role in it, my sobriety, that is. I think, you know, I mean, ever since I was five, I knew I wanted to be what I wanted to be, who I am. But of course, I just assumed that was never going to happen. And even up until about 3 years ago, I never thought that would happen. I assumed nobody liked themselves and I was just living the dream along with everyone else. But the outside definitely, for me personally, again, my own personal journey, the outside very much did not match the inside. And I would find myself even forgetting that sometimes in social situations. And so whenever it would dawn on me every moment, every other moment, it sucked. I guess someone would call that dysphoria, bodily dysphoria, physical dysphoria.
Right.
And it became super severe. And it has had always been, I just didn't realize it. Like, It didn't like really dawn on me until I got sober, I guess. So previously I drank a lot, and I think I was self-medicating for a lot of reasons, maybe things from my childhood, all these things, whatever, my upbringing and all that, you know, come from a low place, but you know, but other than that, when it came to my physical appearance, that sucked, you know. I was going through a hard time. I found resentment towards other men in situations, cis men, or masculine presenting folks. Mm-hmm. And just because I just like wanted to be that. And, but I lucked out. I had a brother, an older brother that like I looked up to. I still do. He's awesome. He lives in California. Okay. But, yeah, so like anything he did, I wanted to do growing up. Whatever he dressed, like however he dressed, like that's what I wanted to dress like. And like, you know, you couldn't peacefully get a dress on me as a kid without me freaking out. And so I felt my most comfortable hanging out with him. And again, this is my own personal journey. Yeah, like, sure. I don't want to put a standard to the binaries or anything like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. This is just me. And, yeah. Personally, that's just, yeah, like, yeah. So yeah, anyways, long story short, I guess when I got sober, I was able to trust my mind, if you will. Like I started to trust my thoughts,
right.
I started to go to therapy, not for gender confirming situations, but just for my own health,
for sure. Mental health.
And so I started to trust myself a lot more. You know, I started doing things that like I do now, like putting castor oil on my face, binding if I can, doing all these things that I was like, why not? You know, I'm like almost 30 and I'm sober now. I trust myself. This is, again, my own personal journey. So like, yeah, so it was nice. Like, and I figured, you know what, like I'm going to do it. And with the help of my partner, she was able to push me along. And the support of my kiddo, her kid, my stepchild, you know, it was super nice. Like, I feel like I lucked out in a lot of ways. They were able to push me to keep going. I'm like the type of person, if I get a little uncomfortable, sometimes I repress. there was no opportunity for that. It was full fledged and I was super stoked for that. And I'm lucky. And so, yeah, I'm here today, a year on testosterone, and it's just been super nice to start feeling the exterior match the interior for me personally.
Right. Yeah. No, definitely.
I rambled.
No, it's fine. It's fine. No, that's all perfect. No, thank you for sharing that. No, I mean, I definitely, like, you know, like we're in the kind of same boat regarding that. Like I'm only 8 months or 9 months, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
You know, 32, you know what I mean? So I definitely, right. Feel you on that. And I mean, did you feel like when you started the process, obviously it you know, it sounds like you know, in this process, or, you know, kind of what you described, you found something that really like helped that mind body, you know, mind body connection really like there, obviously, with, you know, 'cause I know obviously me too, like, you know, being sober, like at so many years, you kind of like start to like feel again, you start to like reflect and like really understand how things make you feel and like what you really want to do. And like, you know, the using and all that different stuff, it kind of stops you from doing, you know, doing those things. So it's like,
right.
I probably would have started like testosterone years ago if I wasn't like drinking myself into a slow death, you know what I mean? Because I was just like turning everything off. But once that wasn't happening, it was like, oh, like there are things like I'm actually willing to look, you know, outward to see like what I could actually do differently, as opposed to wallowing in like the way things are currently, you know what I mean?
Right.
But as far as like when you obviously started testosterone, what was the process like in terms of like going, was it something where you were like, okay, this is testosterone, you know, I did my research, this is what I want to do? Or was it, you know, hard to find like, you know, just content to kind of give you more information? Like, what did that look like to you? Or did you even feel like anything from external, not necessarily like yourself, but like society, anything like that, that you had to do something in particular? Like you had to do testosterone, or was that something that you like identified, like, you know what, this is, I think, going to be right for me?
Yeah, it was definitely it was definitely like a thing I thought about a lot. I, you know, again, like pre-T when I, and especially pre-sobriety, I fought to try and accept my body, and just be like, you know, I just need to work on myself because obviously I hate myself. Like there's something wrong with me. And then I realized that, like, especially with the help of therapy, I was just like, in sobriety, I was just like, you know, I can change. Like I can, like, to, you know, I can change my exterior to match the interior for me. And I keep saying it like that because that's how it was for me. Like my interior now matches the exterior or whatever. But, so yeah, like it was super fascinating for me to like start really like going for it. I mean, there was a point when I just was like, okay, this is game on, even though I wanted to do this since I was five, but right. Like there was a switch for sure.
Yeah, you still have that pause. Like I know I did where I was like, let me read all this stuff. And then I was like, it doesn't matter. Like none of the stuff I read changed how I felt about doing it. But it's like that. It's like that last guess of yourself before you like do the thing though. But
yeah. And it's crazy. Like everything I read online, you know, even when it came to like, oh, you could lose your hair on top of your head. And like, that never scared me. If anything, it was just like, oh, like such, that's the way, you know, that's just what happens to those who have testosterone or testosterone in their bodies. You know, that's just what happened. And I like wanted that, like I wanted to be a part of that experience because that's my life. That's me. That's who I'm, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Right. Hello. You're listening to Outsources on KGNU and I'm your host, Stony Birds.
And so like that's how I felt, like that's I mean that's how I still feel, like that's going to be a part of my journey. And that's just I love it, you know. And so everything I learned about it, I was just like, yep, that's a part of it. Like there was no doubt, there was no like, oh, maybe I shouldn't, like that sounds messed up, like I don't know, I was already pretty hairy and stinky prior, but no, like I want to be like full on bear, but I don't know. Yeah, you know, and I did find myself at times, like I can't believe I'm about to tell you this, in case my brother watches this, but I like went to his Instagram and I like, because I never really paid attention before, I just knew he had like facial hair, but like I was looking in the mirror and I was like, man, like you know, you try to see what you look like and this
right,
and that.
Right, yeah.
And so I went to his Instagram and I saw, and at one point he had like a really cool beard, just like full on. And then it was gone. He got like a mustache or something. So I like, I kind of looked at that because we all look the same, like me and my family. Uh-huh. And so I was like, okay, like that looks kind of cool. Like I bet I would look all right with one. You know, just things like that. But when it came to doing research online, I mean, I found a lot of young trans men, super fit, awesome, like super attractive, awesome trans men. And I actually follow a lot of them on Instagram. I like them, I guess. But I just wanted like more in-depth, like things. Like I wanted to learn a lot about the things that at the time I wasn't discovering, like things about and again, stop me if I make you uncomfortable, but like things about like bottom growth, like how does that actually feel in the process, like which you can find now, or relationships, like the relationships people have with like
how they deal with certain things. I remember like I remember definitely like looking for one of those because like I literally started like 2 months after I got married, so it was one of those things where it was like, you know, I had been thinking about it for a super long time, but like this person hasn't been thinking about it with me for a super long time, so like it that can was seem very sudden to them. And like I'm like, how do I make this? So I'm like, oh, there's this video and this video, but I can only imagine like trying to look for it and it being a lot less available at the time, because even though you're talking about a year and some change, like that's still a big chunk of time from like now, you know what I mean, to what kind of content, you know, was available at that time.
I do believe I mean, like I think that media wise it's blown up, that and well, and I'm not quite sure though, like is it me just like finding it, or am I surrounding myself more with more minded folks?
Right. Yeah. So I mean, I guess it's I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But I mean,
I wasn't good at Googling 3 years ago. I don't know. Now I know what to look for. No, but honestly, the relationship thing was a huge concern, especially having my kid. But I think it was more of the relationship. Like my kid, she's super moldable, super sweet. Right. You know, even push a bug and I'm like, oh my God, I squished him. She'd be like, how do you know he's a he? You know, and I'm like, whoa, you're
right, top right. No, the kids are all right. The kids got it down. Like they don't really need much. It's us that
the adults have
the stuff stuck in our head about how things have to be or how they have to look. Yeah, they're easily like,
okay. I know, especially if you treat it casually and teach them, you know, like they're moldable and they're cute. So, anytime we're afraid to let our youth know about what's good, like that's the adult's problem.
Right. For sure.
Yeah. They're teaching a problem. Honestly. Yeah. Like that was it. You know, of course I got nervous the day before my first shot. Like I was like just butterflies, I think. But honestly, I saw myself, like the dysphoria was even starting to ease just knowing I had it at the pharmacy. Like it was weird. It was super weird. Yeah. And you know, you live with yourself and the changes are slow to you. But just knowing I was like on that path of being me, I was like, this is it.
Like it's super it's exhilarating, that's for sure. So obviously, like doing research, like there was, you know, obviously a little bit, you know, less available like than maybe there is now. Cause like, I think you're right. Like, I think media wise, like it has blown up, but I think also like we're more conscious to a lot of these things. Like you were kind of describing earlier, like, you know, through your journey, like, you know, I knew this information, you know, I knew this when I was like 5. And I feel like for a lot of people, it's like, yeah, we've always felt this way, but like, now you're finding this language to describe it. And then once you know the language, you put it in Google and then there's all this stuff. So I feel like it's kind of like the convergence of those two things, right? Like we know it's out there so we can go look for it. And it just so happens to be like coming up a little bit more now. But again, just like trans people have always existed, like all this stuff has always existed, right? We just haven't had like, I guess, access to it. But when you were obviously going through your process, like accessing, testosterone, like things like that, did you experience like anything that you felt was a barrier to like accessing like, you know what I mean, like and that could be, you know, and I'm not talking about anything specific, but just
even
whatever
the hospital and like my doctor, like a barrier for you. They will agree that insurance companies can be a sticky situation to kind of work through. It's all, you know, you got to call them on the phone and you can't just like go into their office and be like, hey, I'm me. Right. Like need this done, that, like who knows, there's so many like loopholes and weird stuff that happens with insurance companies. So personally, you know, like my doctor is great. The doctor that I go to, I just feel like lucky again. My doctor is so awesome. You know, he has been teaching his crew to be more open to it. Like they're just becoming such a safe space as a clinic, and I love that. And so it was super easy. Like I didn't have to go, you know, I didn't have to prove myself, you know, which I feel so sad for those who have to do that in certain states. Like just thinking about it just now, like totally.
We covered that in when I kind of talked about like my process, like, you know, obviously like with Kaiser, they make you, you know what I mean? They make you do that.
Yeah.
You have to get a letter. You have to go to appointments. You have to like talk to the behavior health unit.
Right. So I guess my only personal experience with kind of relating to that would be I got the green light 100% by my doctor or for my doctor. And, you know, he sent the script over for my testosterone. I think the only thing that I can relate to that, your experience with Kaiser, would be that the pre-authorization took a really long time, the pre-auth of it, because my insurance company hadn't switched my genders over, nor have they changed my name at the time. And I had been working really hard to get them to do that. And that sucked. That part sucked. I would have to call and explain, you know, like, and they'd be like, oh, like, you know, what? Why is your hormones? So I understood, well, there's this and that. And of course, there's a few folks who are super chill with it. Mm-hmm. And I think like they see that they're like, oh, let's send this through. But there is a few who just are clueless, I think.
It's definitely like.
Are you transphobic, or do you just literally have no idea what's happening? It's a part of the process. I think that should totally not be there. The pre-auth kind of made me feel a little weird, like I had to prove myself a little bit, and it would just take time for everyone in the office to understand my situation. I hated that. But other than that, I got it and it was good. And I think honestly, just like having to change my gender, which there is no non-binary gender in the, at least for my insurance company, there's no non-binary option. And I think the Social Security company also just recently changed that. I'm not sure that or it's on.
Yeah, no, it varies so much because I know Kaiser had like a trans health area. But it's like they still have you do the letters. So it's like some of these things, and I think that's what like interested me so much about like trying to talk to different people about like, you know, what they considered barriers or like what, you know, because not a barrier to everybody is the same thing, right? Like, and our barriers are going to be different or they might be the same. And I feel like with things like that, it's like because it's not consistent across the board, because every company is kind of able to do it however they see fit. It's like, okay, you have a transgender like, you know, health area or healthcare unit or whatever you want to call it. But then you require these letters, which is kind of invalidating. So it's like, why even have the unit? And then you have other places that don't have a unit, but then make it like super easy to do all these other things. So it's just like,
it's cute that you're trying.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like, you know, and you don't want to be like that person, but also at the same time, like you also don't have to be like grateful for the bare minimum. Like you can, you know, like it's okay to like,
right.
Or like, yeah, exactly. But
you need like, I'd be like, hey, I've read a few things and I don't know if you know, yeah. I know you work here and you should know, but I just found out that you, we should change some things. Like,
right. Exactly.
Like, I don't know if you're hiring, but I'll tell you this for free.
Yeah.
Now,
So once the pre-authorization like came through, it was kind of like a.
That was nice.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, after like a kind of unpleasant.
Yeah. And for the hospital, too, it took a while for them to change my name. And I felt like they had put my my current name in parentheses as a nickname. And I was like. And they would say my old name, you know, with my new name, I guess, if you will. And I'd be like, no, I told you to like, I was like, just erase it. It, you know, if it's
on, it doesn't exist. Yeah.
It's on my Social Security card. Like it doesn't exist, you know? And they're like, well, I think they just wanted to make sure just in case. And I'm like, there is no just in case. Like, and I was like, and I like one day I was just like, if you could just do that for me right now, like, and I try not to be scary, of course, but I think I lowered my tone like a little bit. And I was just like, if you could just change this today, I don't think there would be a problem or anything like that. Like, just like, you got this, you know? And she did, like, I don't know if I scared her, but she was like, I got this. I'm going to change it right now. I'm doing it right now. And I kind of need to go check. I need to go check, actually. Yeah,
like, you empowered that person to like,
she was sweet. But I'm like, can you change it across all the boards? Is there like not button just to change it everywhere,
right?
Other than that, I guess when I got my pre-auth, it was all good. I think it was just the name changing that was a little difficult. That just seems to draw out. But so far so good. I've come pretty far. I mean, it just takes a long time. It's just invalidating whenever you see your old name or something pop up. You're like, what? You know, and then you got to call them, especially if you're going through changes. Like, I always wonder that, like, you're just like, hey, how's it going? You know, may I change my name? And they're like, what? Like, I felt like I had to do it before I started, like, my voice changing and stuff. But you don't have to. And again, you don't even need hormones to be who you want to be, of course. But that was my personal journey. And I felt like I had to change everything before my voice changed. So they knew, like, it was me doing it instead of, like, someone else. I don't know.
I 100% I mean, get that. And I appreciate you kind of like sharing that. I know that's kind of like sometimes going through the process, it's difficult to like share the things that made you feel like, you know, not the best, especially like when you're, cause you know, when you're like starting the process, you're like so geeked up, like in terms of like what, where the space you think you're going to be in comparison to the space where you currently are in, you know? And then when there's anything along that way that's, like, not positive, you're just like, dog. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is, like, great things are happening, but, you know, I can't, like, another thing, you know? But then also, it's like, you've dealt with so much in the past that it's also, like, one more thing. I can just, like, get through this, but, you know, you're also in that, like, you're trying to, like, live in your truth. So you're like, I'm not happy about the, like, the way this is going. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, I got your back for a long time.
I appreciate that, and I have yours, absolutely. But I appreciate you spending so much time. But but thanks for joining me. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Likewise. I'll chat with you later.
Indeed. Later. Thank you so much, everyone. You've been listening to Outsources on KGNU. I've been your host, Stoney Burtz. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much, Beck, for joining us and sharing your story. Until we meet again next time. Have a good rest of your evening.